So I've always been at like a UConn fan. But then growing up playing basketball, like we watched the movie Hoosiers 790 times. I love Steve Alford, like the whole Bobby, like that era. So I always have like a little, you know, I'm a little sentimental about Hoosier basketball. So I picked Indiana, by the way, to go all the way. Bracket buster last year. That was a tough, or no, this year, a couple months ago. But my teams are New York teams because I'm a New Yorker. New York Giants, Yankees. Everyone just turned this off.
Well, you said the Yankees, so I heard that you were a baseball fan. Despite all the steroid ridiculousness that just keeps popping up.
Yeah. It's really hard. I think it's really hard to be like a baseball fan in this era, but you know, with the steroids, like Ryan Braun, like it's so demoralizing. And here's the thing, as an adult, I'm disappointed. I can get my head around it. But if I was a kid, that's what I always like. I have heartbreak for the kids. Like your whole world, my whole world growing up was like these athletes on my walls, you know. The only thing is, the only thing that would make me stop watching baseball for the rest of my life is if my best friend Derek Jeter, who does not know it yet, if he came out in some sort of scandal, I think I'd never watch baseball again.
I think you're in the clear. He seems like as squeaky clean and professional athlete as they come.
Yeah. I've loved him for so long that's why I think my heart, I think I would just, I would, it was, you know, my dad describes it. He grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and huge Brooklyn Dodger fan. And when Brooklyn left, he never watched baseball again until I started watching the Yankees when I was like 6 or 7 years old. He literally just, he couldn't do it. So that was like 30 some odd years he didn't watch baseball. Isn't that crazy?
Well, we could geek out about sports literally all day, but you're here because you're a comedian. You're performing at the Comedy Attic. The first line in the press release that I got was, Aaron Foley is a nationally known and loved lesbian comedian. And in the first 20 seconds of your Conan stand-up bit, which was hilarious, you put it right out there and you turn it into a joke. So is this label as a gay comedian, is that important to who you are?
No. I just think I'm gay, you know, and I'm a comic, and everyone's going to label you as something. And I love talking about it. It's part of my life. It's not, certainly doesn't define who I am, but everyone, you know, you get black comic, you get female comic, you get gay comic. So, you know, here's the thing. When I travel around, it's really fun to have gay peeps in the audience. So why not reach out to that community when I'm traveling in the, you know, the middle of the country? Because it's really fun for me to have at least part of the audience be on the same page. So for me, it's important in a way where it's just like a level of fun, you know what I mean? And if you're not on TV constantly, it's harder to put people in the seats for all these comedy clubs, right? So you have to be smart about it business-wise. So why not send out the press releases and do what I can from a business standpoint and from a creative standpoint? And so targeting the gay community, because I am in fact gay, to me, it just makes sense creatively and business-wise. So that's why I do it.
You live in LA. You've got a great acting career as well. Ever think about like ditching this traveling comic thing that you're doing? Because it's hard. It's a hard life.
It is, as I talked to you from the Courtyard Marriott in Bloomington, Indiana. Here's the thing. I'll never do that because I love it. I love it so much. It's super creative and fun. And, you know, I can see myself maybe doing a little bit more acting and writing in the future, maybe less traveling, but I love jumping on a plane and meeting new people and seeing new cities. And it's really, for me, so fun. And when it becomes a time where it's too grueling or I have more opportunities doing something else, maybe less traveling, but not less stand-up because I love it so much.
Let's go back to talking about your acting career. Almost Famous back in 2000. Was that at the very, very beginning of your career?
That's when I first started. I feel like I hadn't even taken an acting class. I had no idea what I was doing, and that's probably why I booked the role. I just started comedy, and they're like, well, you should take some acting classes. And I was like, yeah, maybe. I don't know what I'm doing. I was so young. I had no idea what I was doing. And then I just started taking this acting class literally like maybe 2 months before the audition, and I was like, I have audition? Like, this is, you know, I don't really audition a lot. And so, yeah, I got the sides and worked with it with my acting teacher. And I think Cameron Crowe was in the callback, which is kind of unheard of that a director's in the room the second time. But this was his baby, his pet project. And I happen to really like be rocking a sweet velour shirt just because I liked velour at the time. And it was like, you know, a 70s period piece. So the note was, she booked the role, please bring the shirt to the set. That's probably my favorite part of it all. Yeah, no, it was, yeah, I just got really lucky. It was awesome.
So I also saw in the press release that you heard from friends in LA that we're a good place to be. The Comedy Attic is a fun venue. I'm basically fishing for compliments.
Everyone, I mean, you know, comics, we get together and we're like, all right, what room's good? You know what I mean? Like you base it off comics you love, and everyone sees your schedule and you see their schedule and you're like, hey, you know, I have two really good friends, Jackie Cation and Maria Bamford, and they are obsessed with the Comedy Attic. And my friend TJ Miller shot his, recorded his album here, and you hear nothing but wonderful things. And so I was like super excited to get booked here. The guy I'm working with, Matt Alano Martin, he's wonderful. We worked together in Madison, and he was like, my home club is Comedy Attic. So he helped me get booked here, and love the room. It's got a really sweet, cool vibe.
So you talk about football, you talk about beer, but then you can also talk about the trouble you have buying shoes and like your menstrual cycle. So do you think about balancing out a set to sort of reach every single person in the audience?
Yeah, I definitely think you have to, you know your audience. But so many things interest me and so many things make me laugh. And I stumble upon situations, I don't know why, but daily, that are just like, did that happen because I'm a stand-up comic? Or now my brain is like trained to be like insanely observational, or I just fall into ridiculous situations. I don't know what it is, but I'm thankful for all of it. Because, you know, I think you have to be well-rounded, and you have to really talk about, yeah, a wide array of topics. But the good thing is that all that stuff really interests me. So I think all of the above.
And then I'm just wondering, what sporting event are you, like, you have to see the score of tonight? Do you have anything you have your eye on?
Well, I'm pretty excited for the WNBA All-Star game on Saturday. Did I mention I was gay? A little disappointed because Elena Deladon, who's like one of my favorites, you know, she got voted, I think, number one, you know, vote getter. She's a concussion and she won't be playing. So that's a little bit of a heartbreaker. Listeners, Annie just said, suck it up. I don't know if you heard that. You know, concussions, they come and go. But I think that's probably like my main focus. And then, of course, every day at 4 o'clock, I kind of put the Yankees on in the background.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me on.